B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. Starting hour two. We'll have Corey Simon at 4 o'clock. Talking about baseball again, because baseball, I guess, is it's a soap opera that's not going to stop. The thought, again, was that June 1st was the drop-dead date. Andrew, you said, Nightingale said June 6th was the drop-dead date to get 6th. This done. And they really want to start that 4th of July weekend, and it makes a lot of sense. But baseball, it's easy. The owners do their proposal. That was ridiculous, in which the good players are taking an 80% pay cut. Lesser players are taking less pay cut, but the players that you actually tune in and pay to see, the ticket sellers, the ones that drive the ratings, 80% cut. The players responded with, we'll take our full 100% of our prorated salary, and your little 82-game plan, work out something, we're going to play 100 games. That's kind of, it doesn't get any further apart than that. And this is supposed to be worked out as worse, three days or 10 days, 4 days. Like this is all supposed to be worked out very quickly. And Scott Boras says, he told his clients, remember, games cannot be played without you. That's a fact. That people are, how dare you say that? You can't play games without the players. And you got rid of your minor leaguers. So players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues, and they've even admitted that without opening the books that they've had record revenues and profits from the past several years, and pay you your prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against asset value they created for the use of those profits players generate. See, that's the funny thing. When it's time for like a stadium, we have stadiums in this city. Oh, how about that? Taxpayers pay some of it. They do lotteries. And then the owners pay a portion out of their own pocket. No, the owners borrow. Rich people don't spend their own money. That's one thing I learned about real rich people. They don't spend their own money. So they spend somebody else's money. So they borrow the money and then they pay it back because they know the revenue from the stadium is going to be huge. Now, all of a sudden, their pandemic comes and these billionaires, they can't borrow a single dime. No. Even though they know they're going to get the money back, it all has to come from the players. And the reason the owners won't do that is if they take a loan and make sure somebody else, one of the other owners is good, they know that the other owners are going to backstab them. Pittsburgh is the worst one. Colorado might. Minnesota's been kind of shaky. Kansas City. Milwaukee spending money. Milwaukee not like that. Jeter down there in Miami. He's going to snake you.
Talk about taxpayer dollars. That entire stadium was taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
And he comes up, buys the team, and now he can't afford stuff, and he's cutting the payroll. Buys the team, cuts the payroll. So these owners know, if we do like the right thing, Miami with Jeter and them, and Pittsburgh, and Kansas City, and Tampa, the state of Florida.
Right.
All these guys are going to screw me. Maybe Baltimore, it depends on the year, stuff like that. They're going to screw me. So instead, let's have the players make the full thing. And look, the media and the fans, they'll eat it up. It's like chum to them. They love to talk bad about the players. And that's what we've been talking about so far.
6-1-0. Yeah, and with the Marlins, this is the perfect example. This is pre-Jeter, but right. I always like to point out their outfield was once Ozuna in left, Yelich in center, and Giancarlo Stanton in right. And they had that JT Realmuto guy as catcher.
Huh.
And none of them are there anymore.
None of them are there anymore.
Because they didn't want to pay him money.
They didn't want to pay them. Yet. And now think about it. So now Boston and the Yankees are sitting there. So I'm supposed to give you my money for you to not pay those guys. But rather than say that out loud, because it's a fraternity, they say, no. Hey, you players, 80% pay cut. You got to make us whole. We have to share the losses. We have to share the losses, even though we don't share the profits. And that's where we're at. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, guys. Do you know, is the TV money already locked in for the year?
I believe the TV money will be prorated based on how many games they're able to do. The amount per game and the playoff money and all that stuff, I think, is locked in. But everything's getting kind of renegotiated and up in the air with this pandemic.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure about that.
Games will be shown. Like, if there is a season, NBC Sports Philadelphia will be showing local Phillies games and the other product when the time comes. And ESPN will still have Sunday Night Baseball. There would just be less of them and less of it and all that stuff. But the playoff money, which is a lot of money, would be full money if they can work it out and get there.
I wasn't sure whether, because this is so unprecedented, you know, whether the networks already cut the checks for the year. But the other thing is I think the owners are totally misreading the public response to this, to their proposal. And, you know, I think the public is much more anti-owner now, I think, maybe than they were before.
You know, that's a good point. I think that now, I should say, it's still, the majority of people are still pro-owner and anti-player, and I understand because I understand it. I don't agree, but I understand. What is happening right now is we do all have less to do.
Yeah.
So people are paying a little bit closer attention. If this was just a regular strike and we still had everyone was still working and not concerned about all this stuff, there's a certain amount of obsession we have with this situation, and people are educating themselves a little bit more, and I think that plays a role.
Right. Well, I'm hoping the owners just change the terms because they realized in the initial offering, the players accepted it so quickly that the owners thought, geez, you know, I guess we offered too much because they didn't even, you know, they picked it up right away.
The players said,
they backed off.
You're absolutely right. The players immediately said, hey, prorated, super fair. Why wouldn't they say, like, and they know, I know they're detached from reality. But the players are aware that there are people who, millions upon millions of people without jobs right now. So, like, they know that. So it would have looked bad with them saying, no, that prorated thing was no good. That's why they accepted it so quickly. Because to come back and say, no, pay me all of it. Okay, so, like, to do that would have looked bad. Because they weren't even working. So they were asking for money they didn't earn in that way. Or would not earn. But this is different. Period.
Yeah, the owners were probably like, wait, why did they agree to that so quickly?
Because it was fair.
And then they thought about it. They're like, wait a minute.
Never mind.
80% pay cut, Trout, and you'll like it. And there's, there's still people. I get on social media. Some of them maybe aren't calling today. Oh, what are you talking about? You can't live off $5.7 million? Who cares? Who needs $37 million? It's always funny when you talk about what money people need. I knew back in, somebody posted today, my eighth grade on Facebook, my eighth grade track team picture.
Like
the team picture from eighth grade, my eighth grade track team. Today they posted it on Facebook. I remember one time, you borrow like a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like it's the same day. And the guy's already looking to get that dollar back from you. It's one day, I'm like, I haven't even got to see my parents.
To get you the dollar.
I just wanted a ocean spray.
Right.
Cran apple juice. I just wanted a cran apple juice.
Yeah.
I didn't want to drink water after track practice. I wanted a cran apple juice.
Right.
We're on the track bus home, and he's already looking for that $1. He needed it because he needs that money. And then as you become more and more an adult, you go around. If you give me $20, you're going to need that $20 back. Natalie, if you give me $10, you're going to need that $10 back.
Yeah.
Yet, we're very easy to say when it's someone else's money, why do you need all that money, rich athlete?
Right.
Yet you would run somebody down for $5.
For $5, $5.
Why don't you talk to such and such anymore? Man, I let him borrow $5.
Yeah.
He been ducking me ever since. Ain't nobody ducking you for some $5. But people always say stuff like that.
Oh, of course.
Been ducking me ever since. Yet, it'll be, oh, why does he need that? You can't live without that $5. You can't live without that $10. Like, you know how
it's funny
how when it's someone else's money, it's very easy.
So it's kind of just like the owners are like ducking the players for like 80%.
Right. Like, all of a sudden, Trout's calling, hey, my check, it's like it's 80% light.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Well, I'm probably not going to give it back here either.
But then it turns out he goes, ha ha, it was a joke. Leave a message. Hello? Hey, my check, I'm looking at my direct deposit. It's
a little light here.
Looks a little light. Ha ha, it's a joke. Please leave a message. And he's like, no. And he's all like, that's what the owners are pulling on.
Yeah.
Remember when people used to do that?
Yes. And there was a specific person I know that did it. And, you know, she was like, hey. Oh, what's up? How are you? Good. How are you? And you're like, wait a minute. This sounds weird. Why does this sound robotic? And then you start, and it's, got you. Leave a message.
Yeah. All of a sudden.
Wait, what was that? Was that like a prank call thing?
No. It was a prank voicemail.
Voicemail.
Yeah.
Or answering machines did it some, but then when voicemail was a big deal at first.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Some people were doing it on the voicemail. Some people even tried to pull it for some reason on the pager.
Oh, what, like the fake beeps?
Yeah, like, come on, guy. Like, because you would leave a message on the pager.
Yeah.
Act like he's answered the pager. I'm not going to fall for that. It's a pager.
Did you ever have creative answering machine messages?
Yeah.
Like, hey, like.
No, I had music. I would always have music.
I had the songs, too. And I remember my mom used to get so mad because she'd be like, why am I listening? At the time, it was probably like Ja Rule.
Yeah, but not
or ring, somebody.
It wasn't a ringback tone. I didn't like that. I mean, like, when it would come on, it'd be like, hey, I remember I used to put, for a long time, I had the Fugees album. Different Fuji songs on it. So you'd have to hear like Fuji live before you get the message.
Right. And I swear it was Ja Rule. My mom was like, I can't stand that song in general. I don't want to hear that when I call you. She would call and then they'd have to wait because to leave whatever message, there was no text messaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on my actual answering machine, my dad would have us sing the Eagles fight song when you would call and leave us a message at our house. Cute, right?
It's cute, but it takes too long.
Well, and like
I just want to leave the message. Like,
this is an emergency.
Like you don't know why I'm calling you.
No, and back then, like voicemails and answering machines were so important.
So important. And then last thing, I'm getting right back to the phones. I used to hate when a girl would do it when there was a small window of possible alone time.
What? She would call and leave a message?
No. You call her and you want to tell her real fast.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a couple minutes. I got to listen to all this whole, this long. See, I would only put like.
You have to listen to the first verse of Nelly versus Nelly and Kelly Rowland singing Dilemma. And then you can leave. And then you can leave the message.
You got a couple minutes. You know what? Never mind. They're back. Bye. You ruined it. All right. Ricky Bortel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, great show as always, buddy.
Thank you. Good talking to you. Thank you, buddy.
My quick question for you. What happened to the love of the game for baseball?
What do you mean?
I mean, this is why they went out. I mean, players that were before our time played the game of baseball for the love of the game. And I know it sounds corny. It's cliche. They made movies about it. But they went out and they played because they loved the game.
No.
Now all of a sudden it's more so with the money.
No. Wrong. No, it's a job. They always play for the money. And most of the guys that play, and most of the guys that play, they do love the game, but they want to get paid. I love coming here. I wouldn't come here for free.
No, but how much money is enough?
See? Who are you, Rick, to tell someone else how much money's enough? There's never enough. There's never enough. Right now, whatever you do, if they came to you, another company called you right now, Rick, and said, you'll do the exact same job, and we'll double your salary. Would you change jobs?
Absolutely.
And then a week later, another company said, you see that double you just got? I'll double it again. Come to my company. Would you do it?
Yes.
Well, why, Rick? You have enough money. You just doubled your salary. Why do you need to double it again, Rick? I'm speaking for your pockets. You had enough money, Rick.
You're right.
You had enough. That's what I mean. But I hear what you're saying. We look at this thing. Baseball players didn't have free agency. They couldn't move. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it looks like they're playing for the love of the game because they got what the owners felt like they would give them. Kurt Flood, it's been documentaries on it. This isn't hard to find. They played because they loved it, but they wouldn't have played for free. And I think that And again, I don't mean to jump down on you like that, but I don't mean that. What I'm saying is, though, the reason I gave that example is he admitted that if he could double his salary at a job, in a week, he'd be out and double it again. But if you're living now on a certain salary and you double it, is that then enough money? To some people, in theory, that would be enough, yet he would still double it again. It's just human. It's human nature, I think.
Yeah, well that, and, you know, there's... In my mind, there's limitations when you love or are lucky enough to be in a career where you get to have you get to do what you love for a living.
Yes.
So, like, there's limitations because you get to a point sometimes where people take advantage of you and they exploit you. And you have to, at the end of the day, no matter what line of work you're in, you have to protect yourself. So you might love baseball more than you love anything on this planet, and you probably do to dedicate your entire life to it, but that doesn't mean that you deserve to be taken advantage of just because you love something. Like, that's the same in life and as it is in relationships and other things. It's not just binary to baseball or sports.
Right.
You know, like, you can love the game, but there's still a respect that you need to have for yourself.
Let's say you're a young lady and you like a guy. Let's say you love the guy. But no job, no interest in finding a job, mooching off of you for 2 years, no motivation. Well, all of a sudden, you look at that relationship, and it's not that you don't care about the guy, but you wonder, what am I getting from this?
Right, and
I'm putting in all of this.
Yeah.
What am I getting back? Well, the players figure, I've toiled. Even if you think it's not hard work, and now a baseball pitcher makes $25 million. I guess 12 is enough, but why shouldn't I try to get 26 if the pitcher who I'm better than gets 25 and I'm now available? Give me my 26.
And I think especially now, like we're saying with the pandemic and the state of, you know, the unemployment and everything, it's hard for us as, you know, just people to kind try and conceptualize this amount of money. But in that line of work, that's what the pay is.
Right.
That's what the pay is. That's the going rate for good pitchers in professional sports. So while it's hard for us and easy for us to say, well, you love it, you should do it. Well, you're a really great doctor or you're a really great mechanic and you charge this much because your work is that good. Are you then, for the love of your work, going to take less and still perform at that level? It's
right.
You know what I mean?
And my wife, oddly, is texting me during the show, which she never does. Bezos is about to be a trillionaire.
Yeah.
Does he not have enough money? Could he discount stuff for Amazon? Couldn't he
To make it easier for us?
For all of us?
Yeah.
He could do that, right?
Yeah.
We don't ask that of him, right? Why isn't he doing Amazon for the love?
Exactly.
He wants to get to $2 trillion.
Right, the love, right. Why don't he do this Amazon? So why doesn't he pay to where from California, all of us could get next day?
Yeah.
And from here, California, stuff from Philly, he could pay for that. He has enough money.
And you
we
know
don't
what?
Say that. We only say that to pro athletes. Everybody else, we say, go get as much money as you can. But in business, we tell people, we tell pro athletes, do it for the love. We tell everybody else, do it for as much as you can. It's very odd.
Well, again, I think it's because it's the intangible aspect, and because it seems like it's fun. Yes, it's fun, but it's still actually it's work, and it's a job, and there's no, you can't, once you give that inch,
right?
How do you come back from that?
Every job has whatever. There's still a certain amount of clock in and clock out.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter what the job is. You might be clocking in at 9 a.m. and you might be clocking in at 6 or whatever it is, and you might work more than other people, but there's a certain amount, and that's same for baseball. They have to do something for a certain amount of time. So I don't know. I didn't mean to be, if I was too cruel to Rick, though, I do apologize.
His point is what a lot of people think.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, but it doesn't apply to anyone else, and it didn't even apply to him. And that's where it comes in. Todd in South Philly, you're on 97.5 for that.
Hey, Todd. Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
Good. All right, now listen. Here's the deal with Major League Baseball, okay?
Yes, sir.
In 1903, get your computer analyst net on it. 1903, Major League Baseball set forth their own rules, and they cannot be beaten by any players, Congress, the Senate. They made their own law, and it stands till this day. It was done in 1903 by the owners.
You know what, Ty? I'm going to believe you. But then, but I believe I'm not disputing anything you say there, Todd.
Yes, sir.
I'm here for you to educate me. But now that we're in the modern era and they're trying to make certain changes, that law is there. They don't have to live by that if they choose not to.
Right. Well, that's true too. I mean, really, where I stand is with all four sports teams. You know, I see like Subaru, Wells Fargo. All these Subaru gave 60 million meals away. We're in a pandemic, you know? And Wells Fargo, 175 million. I mean, all four major sports teams, in my opinion, should really be given back to we, the people, the fans.
Oh, I don't. We all agree. And I will say the Sixers, after their initial PR snafu, did a fantastic job.
Oh, above and beyond.
And we have to be fair, because when the PR snafu came, we talked about it.
Yeah.
And it's only fair to talk about how well they did after that. And they did a great job after that. The players have done a great job locally.
I feel like once a week you hear another story.
Right. The players have done a great job.
Yeah. Oh, beyond.
The NFL, Jeffrey Lurie, I will say the NFL as a whole, I've been a little disappointed.
I think they've kind of removed themselves from this situation.
Well, they used the draft as a way to raise money.
Well, right. But that's fine.
And they raised a lot.
They raised
just
a
like
lot.
The golf tournament, they raised $20 million.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. In my opinion, they don't feel as connected to the problem or, you know, the bigness of the problem, if that's a word, you know, as the other leagues do.
Yes, I agree.
Does that make sense?
It does. And that's part of the whole reason there's a lot of people think that in cities where people are doing badly, NFL teams do very well and have a bit more responsibility to help those in that city that are doing badly. And however you want to frame that is however you frame it. The league as a whole, because they're so visible, could have done a few more things. Well, they're basically saying there ain't no pandemic. That's basically what they're saying.
Eagles playing September 13th.
Like,
one o'clock kickoff.
Like they decided they're going to have mini camp next month. They don't even know like if it's safe or I'm saying all around the country going, no, you better get your bus to mini camp. Like NFL's decided ain't no pandemic.
Season ticket holders. Payments are coming up soon.
Like where's the money? Somebody running down the money. They're going to be running down that season ticket money. Might not even be a season. I think there will be, but you know what I'm saying? They're running stuff. The NFL did decide there's no pandemic.
They're just business as usual, which is I guess, one strategy that you can take if you're running the NFL. But there's also the rest of the world who feels it in so many different ways. So you're just kind of like, you're not going to change. I don't know. I don't know what I want from them, but it feels a little cold. But it's true to what the NFL is. It's a cold.
It's a cold game.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
I think I missed it earlier. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. And it's time to update our Twitter poll. And that's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what is the poll saying so far?
All right, Ty, we have 1,100 votes on today's poll so far. Who are you blaming more for the issues with baseball? 26% say the players. 74% say the owners.
They overplayed their hand. Because initially, when the Twitch stuff came out, it was a lot. It was the other way. A lot of it was anti-owner.
Yeah.
I mean, anti-player.
Yes.
But they owe the 80% pay cut for the players that people actually care about. They misplayed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Snell thing, the Twitch thing, it was because it was vocal, right? Like, the other thing was an article. Maybe a lot of people didn't read it, right? And then it was Snell, and he was very vocal about it, right? He was very anti, listen, I'm not playing unless I get mine.
Get mine.
Exactly.
He was like, if I get the Rona, he was just talking
to his friend.
Right, he was just, yeah. And then Bryce was like, oh, good for him.
Right.
Like, how dare you say that, Bryce? People doing national shows mad about a guy playing. Literally, the video game sounds were in the background.
Right,
at least Snell paused. Harper was still playing on the controller going,
you're right.
Good on him for saying it. He was right about it. How dare he say that?
Well, the thing is, I didn't get the outrage toward Bryce because Bryce said, Snell said what we're all thinking.
Right.
Right? Like, Bryce isn't like, yeah, me and Blake are the only ones that are thinking this. Or he didn't say, Snell's the first person to think this. He said what we're all thinking right now.
Right.
It's just that nobody else had said it yet. And so Snell says it, Harper says it, then you get the snowball.
Right. And then, so all those people, national people and local, and different people, and listen, they're entitled to their opinions, but they did that whole thing. Now we're up against a deadline. Perhaps the owner should have paid attention to what they were saying a couple of weeks ago and started doing these negotiations then. Because I don't know if they're going to be able to bridge this gap. I know, Andrew, you're more optimistic, and I hope that you're right. I hope that you're right. Joe in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty, how's it going?
What's going on?
Just to start off, I usually agree with you 90% of the time. But what you said a couple calls back to that guy about if you got to raise, you got to raise. But, all right, so he doubled. Then the next week he gets fired. He has nothing. MLB, they get 100% of their contract is guaranteed. So if you hit 40 home runs for 3 years, then you got paid and hit 10 for the next five, I still have to pay you. Whatever you signed on that dotted line.
But you're leaving out one thing. You got the most, in baseball, you're hitting those 40. When you first started hitting 40 home runs, you were way underpaid.
True. But
right, but you can't leave that part out. No, you can't leave that part out. You can't leave that part out.
Okay.
So on the front end, the owners absolutely win with the arbitration system and all that just to get the, no. So you can't just leave that part out and then say, oh, but on the back end. You didn't mention the front end. And if you go to your company, you're producing for that company from minute one. And they're paying you a certain amount. It's not, they get you for cheap while you're being really productive in the beginning. You can't leave that part out when you're talking about Major League Baseball.
And Major League Baseball is one of the few sports that the union and everyone has said that even if they did show them the books, right, negotiated. I think the last time they went on strike, they wanted to try to implement a salary cap, and they said absolutely positively not.
Yeah, that was 20-something years ago.
Exactly. It was 20-something years ago, and that's why they said with the 50-50, now, they're like, all right, they're skeptical because everybody's going to, they don't trust each other. And they never did. And the MLB, their union is a very strong union and they're very loyal and they're together.
Yeah. And again, I understand. I just want to make it clear. I do understand that it's not apples to apples. But there's also a certain amount is that in your company right now, whatever company, they can pay you whatever the heck that they want.
And they can fire me whenever they want.
Right.
If I don't deliver.
You don't deliver. But that's also why you negotiate. But if you could collectively bargain in your field a guaranteed contract, would you? If you could negotiate a guaranteed contract in your field, would you?
Yes.
All right. Baseball has negotiated over a long time. Let's not forget. Previous generations suffered for this. It used to be you played for whatever heck team they told you to. They could trade you, but there was no free agency. Now there's movement. And what you end up with is a better product because, one, you have to be strategic about how you spend your money because no one has unlimited funds. And the other part is the people you actually pay to see are able to actually make a living. because previous generations of players did have second jobs, did have to sign autographs at casinos or just work before. I guess you could say, oh, these guys are spoiled, but like, I don't really think so. Like, I don't think that Bryce Harper should have to, you know, work at the Getty Station while he's not, when he's not playing baseball. Like, I don't think he should have to go to my favorite casino, you know, at Rivers Casino,
yeah,
and be shaking hands,
mm-hmm,
when he's not in the winter,
mm-hmm,
for, you know, to make ends meet for his wife and kids. I don't, while the owners are getting rich. I wouldn't prefer that system.
Well, you know, and
prefer that.
And I think, you know, when we talk about stuff like this, it's kind of like the evolution of things, right? The way that baseball has evolved has led to these larger than life contracts. This is what baseball has evolved into. The right. Owners made it this way. The league made it this way.
The other part is
it's not like the players, they entered it to make money, but they didn't enter it like, this is what the rate is. That's why I don't understand.
Yeah, it's progress. Like Ryan Howard got on, what, $125 million?
Yeah.
And we're all like, whoa!
$120 million? What are you doing?
Yeah, now Bryce Harper's laughing at $120 million.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper, what, you're batting eighth in your lineup?
Made it clear. I'm not signing with nobody unless you make me the highest paid player in the game. And there were some haters. There's some local haters.
Yeah. Too.
Even some legendary local haters. I'm going to have a truce,
yeah,
in our one-sided battle. But there were some local haters.
Yeah.
But he did. And guess what? He got it. And all of us would do the same thing. And that's why I asked him if he could negotiate a guaranteed contract, would he? Yes. And all of us are only worth what we can negotiate in life. And should it be that way? And should we all just get exactly what we're quote-unquote worth? Yes. Good luck with that utopia. I applaud you if you can find it. Jim in Lansdale, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you that it's a lot hard to really get involved, and I haven't been following. I know what's going on, but I haven't been really following that much,
mm-hmm,
because thank you. I haven't been following because, to be honest with you, it's really hard when your home team sucks. And so for years, I have not been following. Even when they went out and got Bryce, I'm like, what are you people getting excited for? You're not going anywhere anyway.
What was that? They were in the first place halfway through the last two seasons.
Well, you know that was a fluke. I mean,
wait. So you were enjoying while they were in first place? You were just waiting for the shoe to drop? Well, I'm asking you, Jim.
No,
you were enjoying first place?
When they were in first place, I was not watching. And I've lost my interest in baseball because the team stinks now. And now you might say, well, that's a bandwagon. No, I was loving it when the Sixers were stinking and trusting the process. My 13-year-old son and I, we would watch Sixers would pull out a win. We'd be like, what are you doing? And then meanwhile, they're losing and we're cheering. And my wife's looking at me like, I don't understand. And I'm like, oh, you don't need to understand. They need to lose.
All right, so baseball, you're tough,
I would like to see the. I'd like to. Sorry about the beeping. I'd like to see the numbers of like little leaguers, you know, in baseball today.
You're not crazy. I've heard that number has dropped. It's dropping.
Yeah, that is factually correct.
Yeah, that's
numbers
dropping.
Have dropped.
Have absolutely dropped. Baseball, I don't think doesn't have its problems with the youth, but some of that, the attention span part, baseball can't solve on its
right.
own.
That's real.
Like the attention span, the reason we need to have 20 screens and all that kind of stuff, baseball can't do anything about that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The
Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. Now, this is Justin Timberlake, right?
Sure.
Coming back, right?
Senorita.
Right. It's very funny. In this
what? Quote.
Okay. 610-632-0975. Jack, Gene, and your calls in 1 second. People talk about cancel culture and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like Justin Timberlake in a certain community got canceled like 15 years after the Janet Jackson thing.
Yeah.
He came out with that last album.
Yeah.
People didn't like it. He decided to stray from his normal pop angle.
It was a little weird.
A little different.
Yeah.
Pharrell and Timbaland and some of the artists that producers he had worked with previously, he decided not to work with them. And then people said, you know what? How come Janet got in trouble and not Justin Timberlake? And all of a sudden he kind of it was way later. Like in real time, people was listening to Sexy Back. People were listening to Senorita.
Yeah, well,
Call Me a Ripper.
No one,
people listening to that.
When you talk about evolution, at the time, no one thought to blame
him. I'm saying there was some.
Yeah.
By the time, but the music, it was like, as soon as we didn't like the music.
Yeah.
You know what? How come Justin didn't have any problems from that thing?
Right.
You know, all of a sudden, he got canceled for something way later.
Yeah.
He was at the BET Awards. He's singing with Al Green at the Grammys. And I was like, oh, Justin. Then all of a sudden, people were like, you know what? Wait a minute.
This song sucks, and you know what? He probably does, too.
You know what? When Janet got canceled, why did we cancel Justin? It did later, like, gave him a residual canceling.
Yeah.
And then he does a song with Meek Mill. Not a coincidence.
No.
The music just reminded me of that. Like, huh, he kind of skated. Didn't skate all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden him and Meek Mill have a song.
Yeah, they do.
Why? I wonder. Just to reset, we've been talking about Major League Baseball, and do you think there will be a season? The owners say, hey, all you good players, 80% pay cut. Max Scherzer comes out strongly, similar to how Tom Glavine did during the previous strike many years ago when they wanted to do a salary cap and said no. He said, how about this? You pay me everything and forget your 82 games. It's 100. And then Scott Boras says, hey, you owners, you've made bad investments outside of baseball. Why don't you find a way to pay these guys because they're taking all the risk and you have no league without the players? So one, what side do you fall on? On our Twitter poll, the majority of people have said they fall in line with the players. They're blaming the owners. But where do you think this can all be worked out in, let's say, a best case, 10 days? Because that's what we're looking at. Andrew says yes. I say no. And if they have to extend it later and they're playing in the middle of, and if they miss 4th of July, baseball, I think, will forever be damaged.
Yeah. And I agree with you on that.
If they miss 4th of July this year, especially when at that point, now, if they miss it because of the virus, different deal. But I'm saying, let's say things continue how they're going.
Yeah.
That would mean NHL is starting camp to play games, and MLB still can't figure their stuff out. That damages. They better be playing. If they're going to play at all, and it's safe, they better be playing July 4th.
Well, don't they say that the 94, 95, it was that lockout? That kind of changed.
Strike.
Well, the strike, yeah, I'm sorry.
World Series got canceled.
Yeah, that changed a lot of people.
It steered a lot of people away.
Away from baseball.
And what brought
then.
It back was Maguire and Sosa, the home run chase, which I can't wait for that 30 for 30.
It's
going to be awesome.
Bought them roids.
But now, and I said this yesterday, home runs aren't going to save.
No.
No, not from this.
Now. Because,
not from this.
Because your regular everyday player is now hitting 40 home runs, right? Because everybody's trying to hit home runs.
Right.
Not 40, you know.
Nobody's hitting 70.
Exactly.
But
everybody's hitting 30. You can hit 210 in the season. But look, you hit 30 home runs.
Oh, man. Well, with launch angle.
You must be a great player.
Right.
Meanwhile, your WAR's in the negative. Even though you hit 30 home runs, you hit 210. And you struck out double the amount of times that you
won. Some of those fluky power numbers from that Freddie Galvis.
Yep.
Guy hasn't walked in 10 years. Hasn't drawn a walk in 10 years.
Yes.
But if you got some good, you got good pop in his bat. Out of here. 610-632-0975. Jack in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyron. How are you doing?
How you doing, Jack?
Good. Hey, with the baseball,
yes.
I agree with the players. They made a contract in March with the owners, and the owners agreed to it. Now the owners want to change it. They agreed, half salary. And because they may not have anybody in the stand for some games, it's like, well, I think the owners can make it up in the long run.
Yes, they also.
Better than the players.
Oh, real fast, Jack, I'm going to let you get your full time. The owners can write off their losses.
Right.
They absolutely can write off their losses. The players, if they just give up 80% of their salary, they cannot write that off. That's just less salary.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's what I mean. I agree. I mean, I think the owners are wrong. I mean, on this one. I think what hurts some of it is not just baseball players, but any of the major leagues. You hear some of the player, you hear some of the players in different leagues, complaining or whining. Basically it's like, how am I supposed to make, they want to cut my salary. I can't play for this much money. How am I supposed to make it on that? It's like, and you got people sitting there only making $50,000, $75,000 a year with a family. And they're bitching about getting by on $6 million a year. I think that's what kind of hurts it a little bit.
It does.
But they don't.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that, Jack. And players should not say that. The problem is, and I'll give you the full floor. How, as a player, if you were going to speak, and you can make the argument that maybe they shouldn't speak, how would you make the argument that losing 80% of your salary isn't okay, but not sound like you can't live off $6 million? You get what I'm saying? They're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
How would you say it if you were a player, Jack?
To me, where I worked, had a union, and we had to go by that contract. If the owner of the company says this is the contract, we had to go by it. I feel this is what they should be doing. They agree to a contract in the beginning of March or a deal. That's what the owner should be going by.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why they're doing it. I mean, I think what happened in hockey a few years ago when they had them strikes, I think if the baseball does not play this year, it's going to hurt them worse than it did in 93-94.
I agree with that. That's going to be worse. But if you're a player, Trout can't take an 80% pay cut at the same time. No matter how bad it looks, he can't do it, and he can't do it not so much even for him. He can't do it for the high school baseball player that's playing right now. He can't do it for a middle school baseball player out there that's going to be Mike Trout in another 10 years. You can't do it, because once they do it, it hurts those guys in the future. So he just can't. He can't. Gene at Ardmore, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Yo, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Ready? You ready? All right, here's the deal. You're going to settle. We're going to have baseball because there's two games. It's called thermonuclear war and tic-tac-toe. Where do those words come from?
Well, you tell me, Gene.
A great movie. And they had they're ready to blow up the world.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing a game of tic-tac-toe. And in tic-tac-toe, there's no winner. So they're going to shut our guns. Players are going to get 60%.
I beat you in tic-tac-toe. I get you in the corner. Get you. You stay out that center. I get you in that top left. I get you like bottom left, top right. I get you. All of a sudden, oh no, what do you do? I get
you.
Tic tac toe.
It's just a draw every time.
No, I get you.
Win.
I hear you, G. But I mean, I might get you a tic tac toe.
All right, we're gonna play. We'll play. But it's a famous movie, and the players will settle for 60%.
60%.
They want 60. Yeah, why not? Why not? They're the players. They're the game.
Well, here's, we go see the damn game. No. But they want 100% of the prorated.
They're prorated down to 60%.
No, they're already willing to prorate it down to 50%. The owners want them to go above and beyond and go all the way to 80%.
Well, see, there's a supreme commander in the middle of all this, and he's the commissioner.
But he's a weak commissioner.
You're going to play for 50% or else.
He can't do that. No, he can't.
Yeah, why not?
Because any agreement the players have to agree to. That's the thing. And he's weak. Like, this commissioner is kind of a joke. NBA has a strong commissioner. NFL, weak. Weak. Joke. Empty suit, Goodell. NBA, good commissioner. NHL, usually a bad commissioner. with this?
Doing well.
Doing very well.
Yeah.
Pretty impressed. I don't know if it's a broken clock or the blind squirrel theory, but however he did it, he figured it out. But this MLB, oh, this MLB, look how he mishandled that cheating scandal.
Yeah.
These little slaps on the wrist, doesn't know how to fix it. He's just out there. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a guy. Like, I could be as good a commissioner as him. What happened? They cheated? All right. Fine him. How much? Well, how much do you think would be too much? $5 million. And the guy said, all right,
that sounds good.
Right. Like, he's
don't forget, he's the commissioner of this sport and called it just a piece of metal.
He did.
The World Series.
Yes.
Right. Like, this guy's, he's like,
what do you mean it's just a piece of metal?
No biggie. Come on. You can't, the word of the day's been trust. Don't trust that fraud. 610-632-0975. On the other side, Corey Seidman, and then your phone call, 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.